have received some special gifts in my lifetime. Handwritten letters, a hand to hold, a ring, a Bible, a picture to remember, a stuffed animal to snuggle, a baby to treasure, a grandmother's recipe, a memory to cherish. We each hold different gifts dear. None of our list of precious people, memories, and items given to us is exactly the same, but they are reminders of those whom we love. And our spiritual gifts are very similar to that. Each of us has different gifts, but all are reminders of the God we love. And with each gift, as we use it to serve God, we are returning His love for us. Now, our scripture lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, and again, it shares about some of these spiritual gifts that we hope to see in one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we hope to identify in ourselves so that we can better use them to, again, share our love with God as we glorify Him, and share our love of God as we love our brothers and sisters in Christ and the world around us. So again, our scripture lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 10. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are many ways that we use our gifts to show love for one another with mutual affection, as the scripture says, and that we show our love for God. And as we each seek to better discern our spiritual gifts and use them to grow God's kingdom, we're learning about the spiritual gifts listed in Scripture. Last Sunday, I touched on helps, hospitality, and shepherding. And today we will hear about a few more gifts. But again, don't be discouraged if you don't hear something that you feel really describes you well. We'll discuss more next week. But probably most effective is if, as you're listening, you'll call a friend when you recognize his or her spiritual gifts. I think it will mean a lot to them, but also I think it will reaffirm to them how God has gifted them and called them in ministry right where they are. So I hope that you, I encourage you to do that this morning as you hear the descriptions of some of these spiritual gifts. So the first that I'd like to share about today is the spiritual gift of encouragement. This special ability to see potential and to fan the flames of spiritual greatness in the souls of other people is truly an amazing gift. In fact, one of Maya and Neil's friends has this gift, and he called Neil earlier this week, and just like always, I have never heard him have a conversation when he did not encourage the other person. In the New Testament, there was a follower of Jesus, and his name was Joseph, and he had this gift so strongly that his given name was Joseph, but he was given a new name. It was almost a nickname, and he was given that name in the church, the name of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And it flowed out of him. When Saul, who became known as Paul, became a part of the church, everybody else was terrified of him because he had been a persecutor of Christians. And Barnabas said, "Paul, you come be with me. I'll believe in you. I'll breathe life into you." And then there was another young man who was named John Mark, and he had some failures along the way, and everyone else seemed to give up on him. And in fact, interestingly, Paul, who Barnabas believed in, gave up on John Mark. And Barnabas actually separated from Paul because he said, "I want to encourage John Mark now." And it's interesting, Barnabas did not write a single word of scripture that we know of. But Paul and John Mark wrote about half of the New Testament books, or at least they're attributed to them. And we might not have those books, though, if it were not for Barnabas. He didn't get credit for writing them, but they may not be here if it was not for the gift that he had and shared, the gift of encouragement that flowed from him naturally. If you have the spiritual gift of encouragement, it must just flow out of you naturally as well. You're the ones who have not let worshiping in person keep you from chatting with me after the sermon. You're the ones who text me after worship on Sundays to thank me for worship. And while that does mean the world to me, what gets me really excited and what I'm really thankful for is that I know you do that with others as well. You encourage our Sunday school teachers, our crucifers, our acolytes, our staff members, our volunteers, our young people, our older members. You just keep encouraging people every conversation you have, and I want to thank you for that. Now, our next spiritual gift I'd like to share about today is the spiritual gift of administration. That's the special ability to bring order out of chaos. If this is you, you love to plan. You plan recreationally. You plan your vacations, you plan your wardrobe, you plan and you schedule, and it makes you more happy and comfortable to have a plan. Creating schedules and systems and routines actually energizes you. Your idea of going on vacation is planning other people's vacations. The Greek word for this is in the New Testament is the same word that's used for a helmsman who would make sure that the ship would remain on course precisely throughout the voyage. There's a character in the Old Testament named Jethro, and he's Moses' father-in-law. And he tells his son-in-law Moses, "You are going to burn yourself out." And so he gives him a system to recognize and reorganize all of the people of Israel so that they get their appropriate care, that different people are helping to be caregivers, not just Moses. And so that way Moses didn't get exhausted and people could receive what they needed. Now this is the spiritual gift of administration at work. Some of you are able to do this. If you have your pen and your paper out, you're taking notes, maybe you're setting up a system for how we can use people who have each gift, how we can better identify people's gifts, how we can do this on a regular basis. If you're doing that, maybe you have the gift of administration. Now, I know some of you have this gift. Some of you use it in your jobs, and others of you, I know, have it because you've come and you've sat down with me in the office and you've shared with me ideas and plans and visions that you have that would put systems in place to help the church better be about its work. And so I'm so grateful for your gifts and how you use them. Now the next gift is the spiritual gift of leadership. This is the special ability to communicate vision and challenge and inspiration that will help people achieve a mission. Sometimes it might be paired with administration and sometimes maybe not. But with leadership, we see people who are put to work on mission together. Now we find this in the Old Testament in a book called Nehemiah. And the main character of this book is, you probably guessed it, Nehemiah. And he hears that Jerusalem, the city of God, has fallen apart. The walls have fallen down. And so he finds a way to get there, and he finds a way to get all the resources for it. And he rallies everyone together, and he makes sure that everyone has a task to do, and they rebuild the walls in a record amount of time. That is the spiritual gift of leadership. One of the ways that you'll recognize this gift is there will be people joyfully following and loving to do what you are inviting them to do and feeling like they're growing in the process, feeling like they're not being coerced or intimidated, but that they're doing what they love to do. That is the gift of leadership. I'm so thankful for some of you who use that gift and for others of you who might recognize it during this time to keep all of our church together on mission, serving God, loving our neighbors, helping to share the love of Christ and the good news of what it can mean to be a part of the family of God. So thank you for those who are called to be leaders. Now, the last gift I'd like to share today is the spiritual gift of evangelism. This is a special ability to care for and connect with people who don't know God and to help them find and follow Jesus. Now, I have to pause for a moment from our discussion of spiritual gifts because I want to remind you that if you have chosen to follow Jesus, if you've asked Him to be a part of your life, if you've given your life to Him, then your mission as a follower of Christ is to go and to share the good news. Jesus gives that mission to us to make disciples, and that's the mission given to every one of us as followers of Christ. And so we are all called to help other people find Jesus. But there are some people who have a unique spiritual gift that they can use to do this. In the New Testament, there's a disciple named Andrew, and at the beginning of Lent, we took a whole Sunday to talk about Andrew. And anytime it seems that we see Andrew in Scripture, he is finding someone who doesn't know Jesus and saying, come and see, you just have to meet Him. You have to come and meet Him. Now, people who have this spiritual gift of evangelism, they find themselves with this kind of motivation. They often want to be around people who don't yet know Jesus so that they can share with them. It's almost a spiritual form of hospitality. I have a friend who is like this, and it isn't forced or awkward, but she just, she naturally senses when people need a connection with God and don't have it yet. And she is always finding comfortable ways to warmly invite people in to the body of Christ. She sold her house several years ago, and she brought the new owners of the house to church with her. She went to rent a moving truck, and she brought the front desk clerk with her to Bible study. She cannot not share Jesus with other people, and she can't not share her church family with people. That is the spiritual gift of evangelism. Now, are there any of these ways that you cannot help but to serve? Maybe you just can't help but encourage people. Maybe you just can't help but to organize people or to help others to use their gifts as a team on mission together or to share Jesus with those who are yet to call Him Savior and Lord. If one of these gifts describes you, I look forward to talking with you about ways that you can put that gift to use to glorify God and to grow His kingdom. But if this gift, one of the gifts you've heard about today, if it describes a friend, I invite you right now or as soon as you hear the closing hymn and the choir sing their sung benediction response, I invite you to call that person and to share with them how you see God's gift at work in their life. I'm so glad that you are choosing to follow Jesus and to serve Him, and I pray that you'll spend time in prayer this week discerning the gifts that He's given to you and how you'll use those during this time where we're in transition, where some people will spend more time at home, others will be going back to work, and a time as we consider what church will look like for us in the coming weeks as we prepare to get back together. I invite you to be in prayer about how you will use your spiritual gifts during that time of transition. Well, let's pray together. God, we thank You for Your love for us and the blessing that we have in joining You to grow the family, the kingdom of God. Open our eyes to see how you long to use us. Give us courage to step out in faith, to love God and neighbor, in all we do. Amen.